The number one thing is to always back yourself no matter what. And if you don't have the confidence, then you need to go looking and find it, because if you can't believe in what you're doing and you can't be confident about that, then you won't be seen or heard or believed.
Welcome to Leading You. I'm your host, Julie Hyde, and in this space, we delve into the dynamic intersection of leadership and mindset. Join me as we uncover the essential tools and insights you need to sculpt your own success and lead a life you absolutely love. With me today is Kate Save, and Kate is a clinical dietitian, exercise physiologist, diabetes educator, and successful entrepreneur. She is the CEO and founder of BeFit Food, Australia's leading dietitian and doctor-designed meal provider, which has delivered 3+ million meals nationally. Having started one of Australia's most successful healthy meal delivery businesses, Kate is also an astute entrepreneur with an inspiring business story to tell, which I'm looking forward to hearing. And among BeFit Food's many accolades, the company was named Telstra Victorian Business of the Year in 2018, number 29 in the AFR Fast Starters in 2019, and the Telstra Victorian Business of the Year again in 2022 for championing health. And Kate is passionate about empowering individuals to achieve positive change, and her core belief is that food should be the first medicine. I totally agree. So welcome, Kate.
Thank you, Julie. Thank you for inviting me.
Now, can we start way back when Kate was younger? And I'm just wondering, like, what did you aspire to do when you were little?
So I guess I've always loved food, like most people. Well, not everyone loves food. I particularly loved food, but food didn't love me so much. There was a point in time there from the age of about 18 months old, nearly two, till I was 20, where I was hospitalized in and out all of the time with these severe tummy aches. Sometimes it would be so bad I couldn't stand up. I was throwing up for days on end, and that could go on for up to sort of a week. And my parents were working full time. They both had their own small businesses, a knife sharpening business for dad and a pre-loved clothing shop for mum, and they couldn't stay at home. So they'd send me to my grandma's house. I'd stay there for a week or two until I could function again. And they took me for medical tests up until I was about eight. And all of the doctors said they can't find anything. And some of them even said things like, oh, she was making it up. It was in her head. There's nothing wrong with her. My parents would see, like, I love school. I was such a happy, energetic kid. And when I was sick, they're like, oh, that just doesn't sit well with us. But they trust the medical community's opinion. And it wasn't until I had my license and I was going to uni, I had seven casual jobs. And when I got sick then, it would become such an issue because I could be on the side of the Monash Freeway. I'd have to pull over, call an ambulance, go to hospital. They'd knock me out and generally send me back home. And one particular time, I'd been at uni for the day. I'd worked that evening at the casino. I was managing a bar there. And then I think I'd finished around whatever time the morning, got back to the peninsula about 6 a.m., slept in my car until the radiology place opened because I had to go and have a scan. And most of the scans had never really shown anything. But this particular time, it was in about 2003, they actually were sending me for an MRI. And MRI had only come to Australia in about 1997, I believe. So I'd never actually had an MRI and I didn't know that. And I went to sleep after I had the scan back at my parents' house, woke up at 3 p.m. the next day to seven voicemail messages on the old-fashioned answering machine saying, Kate Save there? Can you please come in? It's urgent. Call us back. And I just kept playing them, and I thought, oh, I think they've found something. And I've got a funny mind like that because I was like, I really hope it's something deadly because I'm sick of being told there's nothing wrong with me just to prove them wrong, that I'm not making this up.
Yeah.
And sure enough, I go and have my appointment. They said, you know, you need emergency surgery. We think you've got a tumor in your bile duct. And I said, oh, what are the chances of it not going well? They said, oh, no, you've got a 90% chance that it'll go well. We want to book you in straight away. And I said, well, actually, I've got plans for the next 2 weeks. It was my 20th birthday coming up. I was 19 and I'd already booked it. And so I wasn't going to do that. And at the time, and this is very naive and stupid of me, but I was doing swimsuit modeling. And I thought, well, if you're going to hack up my stomach, I'm going to do my last competition. I'd become runner up and do that. So I said, I'm going to put it off 2 weeks. The surgeon's like, are you insane? And anyway, I told my parents, and I can just, having two daughters now, I can imagine how they felt. But I was pretty determined and bossy that I was going to do it my own way, and I had uni exams and I wasn't going to miss it. And so sure enough, I had the surgery. It was a 5-hour operation, and I later found out the condition I have is extremely rare. There's about 300 cases in Australia, I think. Massive surgery. It went okay, but there was a few things that didn't go so well that have left lifelong sort of issues that I can manage. Lucky I know what to do as a dietitian, but that really meant my interest in food as a kid was because food I loved, but it just, certain things didn't agree with me, and we didn't know what was making me sick. And the doctors kept blaming food as the reason for me being sick. Oh, it's what she's eaten. She had this, she had that. So I was like, what is it that I'm eating that is poisoning me? And it wasn't that at all. Yeah. But yeah, I always wanted to do something with food.
Yeah, right. I'm so sorry that you had to go through all of that for such a long time. Yeah. And 5 hours, like, that's a huge surgery.
Yeah. It's funny when you're faced with those sorts of things and being told there's 10% chance you're not coming out of this, you know, your head plays some funny games with you, and I'm very optimistic. But the day before the surgery, I decided I was going to go for a run along the beach. And actually at this point in time, I really wasn't much of a runner, so I don't know what I was thinking. But I think I was trying to run away from my problems. I started running, and I ran as far as I could run. It got dark and I was about 13 kilometres away. I'd been running along the sand. I was absolutely exhausted. Didn't have a mobile phone. Went to the nearest petrol station and asked if I could do like a reverse charge to my parents to come pick me up and just think what was going through my head. But I guess I was processing, what does this mean? What's going to happen? And a lot for a 19-year-old to go through.
Yeah, 100%. That obviously got you interested in food. Yeah. So where did the seed of the idea come about for BeFit Food?
So that really, my first baby, my first business is Peninsula Physical Health and Nutrition. So it started as personal training and dietitian services. It grew into quite a large gym with 16 different health professionals. And over the years, it just kept evolving. We do hospital contract services, aged care. We service 10 medical centres. So that was my first baby. And then from that, what I started to recognise was the people that we were seeing, you could give them the advice, and most people now, particularly with the internet and social media, you can find what you should eat, what diet you should be on, all of it. You could look it up yourself, but can you physically get that food served up in a plate in a way that's tasty, eat it, and follow that plan for the next 6 weeks to get the results you're after? And I kept facing this same problem that people know what to do, they just don't have the tools to get started. And that was why I decided to create BeFit Food. And I think more so than anything else, it was because the quick, easy option was people going on synthetic shakes diets, so doing slimming shakes and things like that. And I was really not a fan of that. And I just thought it's setting people up for long-term failure. It's okay to replace a meal here or there or a breakfast if you're not a breakfast person, but to think that improving your health is drinking synthetic shakes is just well outside of what I believe is really something anybody should be doing. So I wanted to create a product that could be like a meal replacement, but it was a meal. It was only made of whole food ingredients, 4 to 12 veggies, high protein, low carb, no added sugar, low sodium, good for gut health with dietary fiber, has all your vitamins and minerals. So just a healthy meal, but something that was convenient. And that's what BeFit food was, so that we could actually turn around and sort of say to even the medical profession that the current gold standard around the world being these BLCD shakes or meal replacement shakes can actually be done with a meal. They don't need to be done that way. Yeah. And just because they have been done that way doesn't mean it's the only way it could be done. So that was my challenge. And nobody at that stage had really done that in Australia. And it was a bit of a minefield to go through, because I guess everyone had their own opinion about it. And we spent a good couple of years really coming up with all the recipes, developing, testing. And yeah, once we knew it worked and we knew we got the formula right, then we just decided to have a crack. And it was really a couple of years until it got serious. And then we realized how much money we sunk into just trying to get the concept off the ground. We were hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt at this stage and just run completely out of money. And that's when I went on Shark Tank. I thought I can get an investor and actually get some serious business advice for selling a product, because I knew how to do service as a business but not product as a business, because you need supply chain, you need all these things that you just don't need to know about or understand. Pallet configuration, running warehouses, managing logistics, e-commerce sites, all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. That's an incredible story, because it's like you saw a gap in the market and you thought, well, I can do that. And when I watched your Shark Tank, you just come across just so confident. Like you just walk in that room and you do your pitch and like full belief in obviously, you know, BeFit food and what it can do for people, of course, but also like such belief in you. In yourself, because you were so composed.
It was the most terrifying thing I've ever had to do. And I've done skydiving and bungee jumping and all those things. And that was by far the hardest thing I've had to do, because you literally stand behind closed doors. You've been told nothing, nothing at all. You get, you know, flown into Sydney the night before, you go to Fox Studios, you're locked up in a hotel, they take you on a bus, they do your hair and makeup, and they go, all you need to do is walk through the doors and stand on the spot for a minute. There'll be a spot where you need to stand, and then the five sharks will start asking you questions on the red carpet. So you walk out there, and that minute of not being able to talk or not being able to do anything, and so they can look you up and down, and you can, you know, for TV, they want good TV. They want to see if you start shaking, if you break, if you compose yourself. And all I could think about is, I've got a 1 minute pitch. Don't forget your pitch. So I was just practicing in my head, and then got my 1 minute pitch out, thought it was all over. 2 hours and 45 minutes later, we are still going. So it took a long time to close the deal. No toilet breaks, no can I ask a friend, no questions, no paper, nothing to look up. Had to know it all inside out. So I actually studied before I went on BeFit Food for about 3 months, watching every single episode of Shark Tank ever made, writing down every question and learning that about my business if I didn't know it, to make sure that I didn't destroy my own reputation as a health professional and a business owner on national TV.
Yeah, right. Good for you. Because obviously, like when you walked out of the room, they were very impressed with you. Of course, this is all condensed in.
In 7 minutes, yes. Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. So, it was intense.
Wow. Yeah. Good deal. So you paired up with Janine. So she was your investor.
Yes.
So was that work for you? Was that a happy union?
Yeah, Janine was fantastic. I guess I was looking for someone who had experience in the food and health sector, which she did. I was looking for a female mentor in business, because I had a male business partner. And it's 10 years ago, really, since I started the company. And I think even in that 10 years, females have come a long way. But I definitely felt a bit of an undertone that maybe I wasn't up for the job. And I had been told that we need a real CEO, we need a male, and all these sorts of stuff. So I just had to have some confidence that I could do this, and you know, I didn't need to be a certain type of person. And I actually went out and did my MBA after that, because I thought, no, the judgment is you're only a dietitian, you can't run a business. So I just made sure all of my areas of so-called weakness were covered so I could back myself to, yeah, be in the best position for the company that I could.
What would you do if you were confronted with a diagnosis that threatened your life? Would you continue to live as you are, or would you make some big changes? That's what happened to me on the 6th of October in 2021. My life changed within a second, forever. This moment was a catalyst for me to look deep within and assess if I was living a life I loved. I wasn't. I was tolerating too much of it. And now I've made big changes, and I want to empower you with the choice to do the same. My second book, You Always Have a Choice, is now available, and I share 9 powerful strategies to let go of overwhelm and the relentless struggle and implement changes so you can lead a life you love. Head to youalwayshaveachoice.com.au to grab your copy. What would you consider to be the biggest challenge that you've faced in your business so far?
Oh, look, COVID was a huge challenge for us because unlike other food companies where people were locked at home in Melbourne, obviously not all across the world, but particularly in Melbourne, and they were ordering food in, the sorts of food they're ordering were cheese platters with wine and takeaway. They weren't going, I need to go on a weight loss program because they don't have weddings, they don't have holidays anymore, there are no birthdays, there's no celebrations, there's no events. So nobody was going, today I'm going to start my diet. So that was horrible for us. We had to shut 7 click and collect locations because people weren't allowed to leave their homes. We had to shut down one of our retail stores, which we'd only just opened, which was a real pain. We never ended up reopening that after 2 years when we're out of the final lockdown. So it was a really hard period. And also, I think my team are very empathetic and, you know, we were all going through lockdown together. And the hardest part was even for our marketing, we didn't feel like we could market weight loss to people during a period when their mental health was so low and financially they were struggling and people had lost their jobs and kids weren't at school. So we just really lost our grip on the market. So we'd been growing, you know, 100% year on year for 5 years, but then we hit COVID and we just sort of pulled back and said, what do we really want to do here? And there was some pressure from the board to just sell everything to everyone, be everything to everyone, do family meals, do these meals, do this, and, you know, pivot there. But it wasn't true to the reason why I set up the company, which was to improve health. And if we went down that path, it wasn't health improvement, it became convenience. And we knew at some point when we got out of lockdown and COVID that people would want to invest in their health again. And we're not about weight loss, so to speak. We're about health improvement. It's about reducing blood glucose levels, reversing fatty liver disease, reversing high cholesterol or high triglycerides, resetting metabolism in a sense of getting things working well again. So people, they need that now post-COVID. So, you know, we're back, but it took us a long time to really find our feet again and get some momentum.
Yeah, COVID could be a real flattener for a lot of businesses. And I suppose, you know, you're right now that people are thinking about, oh gosh, the damage that I did over that time, particularly Victorians, as you say, or Melbourneites, really.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, let's get beef food in, because what I love about it is everything's done for you.
Yeah.
And you can just choose what you want to eat for breakfast and dinner, but it's all there. You just add some veggies and salad and the snacks are so yummy. So that's, I think that's just so good. And you know that you're eating really, really well. So, I was certainly one of those people that was like, order. Let's lose some kilos after COVID. So, like, you're obviously an incredibly intelligent person and you know how to fuel you to be equipped to handle what you foresee as challenges. But what have you learned about you throughout your journey? Like, what has sort of come to light?
The number one thing is to always back yourself no matter what. And if you don't have the confidence, then you need to go looking and find it, because if you can't believe in what you're doing and you can't be confident about that, then you won't be seen or heard or believed. And I think I've always had the inner confidence when it comes to nutrition because I've studied it my whole life, and it's what I know and what I think I've seen is people's journeys and stories and how remarkable they are. And even at moments when things were going so bad, we'd get this story come in, a lady would call or send an email or a review where someone is saying, this has literally saved my life. I wouldn't be here without this. This has happened. This has got me off my medications, or I'm getting married again. I just didn't love myself. And so we've actually now created a TV series. So it started on digital on YouTube. It's called 28 Days That Changed My Life. And part of that will actually be going to Channel 9 soon as a part of another show. So yeah, it's just showcasing everyday Aussies and their own incredible health transformation simply by changing what they're eating and moving a little bit more. And a lot of people, I guess, are so all or nothing that it seems so hard to get started. And what I wanted to do was help people to go, no, all you need to do is eat the food that we give you, just heat it and eat it, and the results will take care of themselves. You will absolutely get the results every single time. And it is that easy. And once people have tried it, they're like, I can't believe I didn't try this sooner. And I think where that became so important for me is in a particular year towards the end of COVID, three people I know that had type 2 diabetes had amputations, and two out of the three died. And the one that's living is the one who has completely revamped his health. He was in a wheelchair, then he got a prosthetic leg, and now he's getting back to everyday life. And he was the one who said to his doctors, why didn't I know about BeFit food sooner? Why I've only found out about it now? And he lost 9 kilos in the first few weeks of being on the program. And he started walking and he was so happy, and he got a blister on his toe, but he didn't realize because of the diabetes had already progressed so fast, that blister never healed and ended up in toe amputation, foot amputation, leg amputation. And he was just furious that the solution was so simple and he could have been doing it years earlier and got the weight off and got his diabetes into remission, but nobody had ever guided him to that. And I find that really frustrating, because it's not about what you know, it's about how you can apply that and how you can access that.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely. And like you say, we all know. Well, we all know what to do.
We do. We do.
A no-brainer. But the how is sometimes the challenge, but also the motivation.
Yeah.
And that's why I find, like, if it's there for you and it's just so convenient, because, you know, some people might think that's a lazy approach. Other people might think it's smart. I run my own business too. I don't necessarily love slaving in the kitchen. So it was just, it's just the ideal solution. Like you say, it should be well known, particularly when you're literally saving lives.
Yeah.
So in terms of the confidence question, like the inner confidence for you, would you agree that you have to take action to actually get the confidence? Like, it's just it's not necessarily going to show up somewhere.
And I don't like confrontation. I'm a Libran. We like peace and harmony, and I really hate confrontation. So when I'm confronted in a not friendly way, having the confidence to actually truthfully fight back in what you believe in, I think, is so important. And it just it took me years to learn how to do that. I would rather just shut up and cop it from someone, even though I knew that that was inaccurate, because I just didn't want to be in that situation of conflict. And now I've recognized that it probably doesn't end in conflict if you stand up for yourself, because if you can assert yourself well, then the conflict will diffuse, whereas if you just sit back and take it, then, you don't get very far. So
no, you're totally right, because it doesn't have to be a conflict.
Yeah,
people could have constructive conversation about, you know, differing opinion and come to a solution when you're treating each other with respect, I find.
And you have to, sometimes, sadly, you need to earn that respect. And if you show weakness, that is often when you lose the respect. So that is the part that my kindness is often mistaken for weakness, not so much now, but certainly in the first few years. And I could see it happening, and I just didn't have the confidence to stand up and fight back. Yeah.
Good on you for doing that, because a lot of people don't. And it is a challenge, and you've worked through that. So in terms of what you have achieved and the awards, the evidence is there. So don't mess with me.
you do grow a bit of a thicker skin, because you recognize that not everyone's going to have your back. Most people are out there for themselves, unless you can offer a helping hand. And I think that's the number one thing here is be generous, be kind, treat people with respect. And then most of the time I find any situation that I walk into, there's support in the room, no matter what it is. So build strong relationships, build trust with people. And it's not about being false. It's just about being genuinely yourself, and then people see you for who you are, not who they think you are. So I guess social media always portrays different images of people and falsifies things, but just be you and be authentic. And yeah.
I love that, Kate. And that's probably a really good note to finish on. But what I want to make sure that people are aware of is that on the show notes, I'll be sharing all the links where people can get in touch with BeFit Food, check out all the meal options and how they can look after their health. And to also connect with you as well.
Thank you.
And to follow your inspiring journey. Is there a final note that you would like to finish on?
My favorite analogy of health is our body is our house for life. It's the one that we can't sell, that we can't upgrade, that we can't move out of. So invest in your body like it's your biggest asset, because it is. It is the only place that you truly have to live for the rest of your life, and that is literally to your very last day. And if you don't invest in it now, the last 5 to 10 years of life are often painful and horrible. And we don't think about that now, but you look at elderly parents or grandparents, and if they haven't managed their health, those last few years are often suffering rather than quality. Whereas you look at the ones that really look after their health, they hopefully go peacefully during the night. And that's just look after your health. It's your biggest investment. And I think we often put work in the way of health, but you need to find that balance, because work will end at some point, but your home, your body, your health will never, ever end. You need to look after that every day.
Absolutely. That's perfect, Kate. Thank you so much for being part of Leading You.
Thank you.